Hello and welcome back to my episode 13 of the Fundamentals of Investing. I am Professor Mahesh Agnihotri, your host for the podcast. I am a retired professor of accounting and finance for bachelor's programs and other higher qualification seeking programs as well for almost four decades in India, Oman and the United Arab Emirates. During this period, I taught basic and higher levels of accounting courses and also principles of finance, fundamentals of investing, capital markets and institutions, and applied finance in the area of finance. Apart from teaching, I have also presented research papers in Asia, Europe and North America, which in fact includes an international business conference which is organized by the oldest professional management societies called Society for the Advancement of Management way back in the year 1910. My interest in stock markets motivates me to write research articles and publish episodes on the podcast. My earlier episodes, we had discussed a number of topics which include portfolio risk management, value investing, investing theories, to name a few. And in the last episode, we had discussed technical analysis of valuing a stock. In this episode, we will discuss the fundamental analysis method of analyzing the stocks. Investors need to analyze the stock before they buy. It's easy to buy, but difficult to sell the stock in order to make profitable investments. For this purpose, investors use either the fundamental analysis or technical analysis. The aim of technical analysis is to use past behavior of the stock to predict the future price. Passive investors use technical analysis and active investors use fundamental analysis. Investors who rely on fundamental analysis might sell a stock because it appears too expensive, whereas technicians tend to hold on to the position as long as it continues to rise. Let us now discuss fundamental analysis and the various ratios. I think we'll be discussing six ratios used in fundamental analysis in measuring a stock's intrinsic value. Fundamental analysis is a method of measuring a security's intrinsic value by examining the related economic and financial factors. Fundamental analysts study anything that can affect the security's value, from macroeconomic factors such as the state of the economy, the industrial conditions, to the microeconomic factors like the effectiveness of the company's management. This method of stock analysis is considered to be in contrast to the technical analysis, which forecasts the direction of the prices through an analysis of historical market data such as price and volume. This was already made it clear by me earlier on. All types of stock analysis try to find out or assess whether a security or an equity is correctly valued within the broader market. Fundamental analysts typically study first the overall state of the economy, then secondly, they study the strength of the specific industry, and finally, they assess the individual company's performance. That is the order. This is done to determine the fair market value of the stock. Now let us discuss the quantitative and qualitative fundamental analysis. Let me tell you that The word fundamentals is that it can cover anything related to the economic well-being of a company. Fundamentals include numbers like revenue, sales, or profit, etc. But they also include anything from a company's market share to the quality of its management. Quantitative and qualitative information about the company's performance is also a must. The fundamental factors that can be grouped into two categories is quantitative and qualitative. Let us see what is quantitative information that is required for investors to understand. Quantitative information is the one that can be shown in numbers and in amounts, and this is reported in the financial statements like income statement, statement of financial position, statement of cash flows, and all that. These are measurable characteristics of a business, whereas qualitative information is the one relating to the nature or the standard of something rather than to its quantity. Let me give you some examples, which are like patents and proprietary technology, and the quality of key executives are the examples of qualitative information. Let us discuss the qualitative fundamentals or qualitative information that is required for the investors to know. Qualitative fundamentals are the four fundamentals which one has to understand in order to understand a company. The first one is the business model. That is, what exactly does the company do? This is to be understood by the prospective investors. For example, direct sales, franchising, advertising based, and brick and mortar stores are all some of the examples of traditional business models. That is what they should know. What is the business model of the company? Then let us see the second qualitative information that the investors should know. That is the competitive advantage. What is competitive advantage? Competitive advantage refers to the factors that allow a company to produce goods or services better or more cheaply than its rivals or its competitors. These factors actually allow the business to generate more sales or superior margins as compared to its competitors. The more sustainable the competitive advantage, the more difficult it is for the competitors to neutralize the advantage. When a company or when a business can achieve a competitive advantage, its shareholders can be well rewarded, not just for a small period, but even for decades. The two main types of competitive advantage a company can have are comparative advantage and the differential advantage. Now, the third point is the management. Some believe that management is the most important criterion for investing in a company. Yes, because it makes sense. Even the best business models are doomed or fail if the leaders of the company fail to properly execute the plan. While it's hard for retail investors to meet and truly evaluate the managers, one can look at the corporate website and check the profiles of the top executives and the board members. It is available without any payment. As to how did the company perform in how did the key executives perform in their jobs and all that can be understood by seeing the website. The fourth point is the corporate governance. Corporate governance describes the policies in place within an organization, denoting the relationships and the responsibilities between the management, directors, and also the stakeholders. These policies are actually defined and determined in the company's bylaws along with the corporate laws and regulations. As a prospective investor, particularly assess whether management respects the shareholders' rights and the shareholders' interests. This is because this is a matter which is very, very important to be assessed before thinking of investment in a company. They have to make sure their communications to the shareholders are transparent or not, whether they are clear and understandable or not. And if you don't get this information, it is probably because the companies don't want you to know that information. It's also important to consider a company's customer base, the market share among the firms, the industry-wide growth, the competition, the regulations, the business cycles, and all that. These are the qualitative information that investors should look for. Learning about how the industry works will definitely give an investor a better understanding of the company's financial health. Having discussed the qualitative factors, now let us discuss the quantitative factors in the form of key ratios which can help the investors in the fundamental analysis of stocks. The first one is the working capital ratio, which is also known as a current ratio. This is actually a liquidity ratio. What is working capital ratio? Working capital ratio represents, or in other words, it indicates a company's ability to pay its current liabilities with its current assets. Working capital represents the difference between a company's current assets and current liabilities. That is, current assets minus current liabilities will give you the working capital. That brings us to the point that what are the current assets? Current assets include cash, cash equivalent, accounts receivables, stocks, that is inventory, and then marketable securities, prepaid expenses or prepaid liabilities, you may call it, and other liquid assets. Actually, assets that can be expected to be converted to cash within a year are called as current assets. The current ratio or the working capital ratio is a financial ratio that measures whether or not a firm has enough resources to pay its debts over the next 12 months. The current ratio can be calculated by dividing current assets by with current liabilities. That is, current assets divided by current liabilities will give you the current ratio. Acceptable current ratios vary from industry to industry, but a standard current ratio is 2:1. That is, if you have current assets worth 2, you can easily pay liabilities worth $1 of the liabilities of the firm. That brings us to the point, what are the current liabilities? Current liabilities are a company's short-term financial obligations that are due within 1 year or within a normal operating cycle. They have to be paid within 1 year, that is within the current year itself. They cannot be postponed or deferred to be paid next year. That is actually, in other words, amount to be paid to the creditors within the 12 months. Assessing the health of a company in which you want to invest involves understanding its liquidity, that is, how easily that a company can turn its assets into cash to pay its short-term obligations. That is, the working capital ratio helps us to understand the liquidity position. Let me give you a general example before we go to a specific company which is in existence right now. If a company called XYZ Corporation has current assets of, say, $8 million and current liabilities of, say, $4 million, that is, 8 over 4 is a 2:1 ratio. Pretty good, it sounds. But if two similar companies each have a ratio of 2:1, that is, company A and company B also have the same ratio, then what? The company which has more cash with its current assets would be a better company to pay off its debts to the creditors rather than the other company which has lesser amount of cash available with it. Now, that brings me to give you some points about the importance of the current ratio. Actually, current ratio helps in understanding how cash rich a company is. It helps investors gauge the short-term financial strength of a company. The higher the ratio, more stable the company is. Whereas, in other words, the lower the ratio, the greater is the risk of liquidity associated with the company. The current ratio gives an idea of a company's operating cycle also. It helps investors in understanding how efficient the company is in selling off its products. That is, how quickly is the company able to convert its inventory or current assets into cash. Knowing this, a company can optimize its production. This enables the company to plan inventory, storage mechanisms, and optimize the overhead costs. That is very, very important in order to increase the profitability. The current ratio shows the management's efficiency in meeting the creditors' demands. It also gives an understanding of the working capital management of the company. That is very, very important. Many companies fail because they have not managed their working capital properly. Now, let us discuss the financial ratio of Amazon, that is, the current ratio of Amazon. Let me tell you briefly about Amazon. Amazon is the world's largest online retailer and has grown rapidly in the last 20 years under the leadership of Jeff Bezos, the CEO. And it includes its core e-commerce operations, the cloud services, digital advertising, groceries, and prescription drugs. These are the activities of the Amazon company. It also sells products such as the Alexa personal assistant and the ecosystem. And the movies on the television. That is what is Amazon is busy in trading. Now let us see the current ratio of Amazon for 2 years, that is for the year 2018 and 2019 as well. The current assets were 75,101, and whereas current liabilities were 68,391. And if you divide 75,101 by 68,391, you get a current ratio of 1.098. Whereas in the year 2019, the current ratio comes to 1.097, just 1 point lesser than the last year. In both years, it is less than the standard, that is less than 2:1. If it has a good cash conversion cycle, it's okay. But most of the companies have the ability to make payments to its creditors. If that is done, even this 1:1 is okay, but it is not, you know, advisable for any company to be close to 1:1. That is only in case of a quick ratio, 1:1 is okay. But in case of current ratio, it has to be between 1.5 to 2. That is the standard ratio. This 1.098 is despite an increase of the 22% in current assets and current liabilities in both the years. Anyway, because of the trading activities, it is able to meet the current liabilities properly. And that is quite reflected in the free cash flows the company has. Free cash flows are an important part of any good company's success. Now, let us see what is a quick ratio. This ratio is also called as the acid test ratio. This ratio subtracts the inventories from the current assets before dividing that figure into the current liabilities. The idea here is to show how well the current liabilities are covered by cash and by items with a ready cash value. Inventory, on the other hand, takes time to sell and convert it into the liquid asset, that is cash. Because if you sell inventories quickly, you will have to incur loss. That is why inventories are excluded from the asset test ratio, that is current assets minus inventories. That will give you the amount to be divided by the current liabilities in order to get the quick ratio. Let me give you a general example again. If the company XYZ has 8 million in current assets and minus say 2 million in the inventories, and again over 4 million in current assets, that is that will give us 1.5:1 ratio. The ideal ratio is 1:1. That is, to pay $1 of a company's current liabilities, a company should have at least $1. Otherwise, then the company loses its reputation in the market because it is not able to pay to its competitors, to its creditors. And may also be possible that it is not able to pay salaries to the staff, which is not a very good sign. That is why companies like to have at least 1:1 ratio here. But firms with less than that may be okay because it means that they turn their inventories very, very quickly. But that is not advisable. That is a very, very rare case that you will be able to meet all your obligations of the creditors. The quick ratio is a more conservative measure for liquidity, since it includes only the current assets that can be quickly converted into cash to pay off the current liabilities as compared to the current ratio. To repeat, let me say that a number that is higher than 1 is ideal for both the current and quick ratio, since it demonstrates there are more current assets to pay current short-term debts. However, if the number is too high, it could mean the company is not leveraging its assets as well as it otherwise could be. So that is not a good sign. Let me give you the quick ratio of the Amazon company. In the year 2018, it was 0.84, whereas in the year 2019, it was 0.86. This is not a ratio shareholders will appreciate, because it may have liquidity problems later or sooner than later. It has to improve its liquidity. So shareholders will not be looking for such a quick ratio of less than 1. Before we go further into the calculation of the ratios, it is better, having discussed the two ratios, current ratio and quick ratio, there's a need to discuss the what is cash conversion cycle, because it is related to the current ratio and the quick ratio. The cash conversion cycle is a metric actually that expresses the time it takes for a company to convert its investments in inventory and other resources into cash flows from sale. So if the cash conversion cycle is good, then the investors can think that this company is doing well. The third ratio which we will be discussing is the debt equity ratio. The formula for calculating debt equity ratio is the total liabilities divided by the shareholders' equity will give you the debt equity ratio. What is debt equity ratio? The debt to equity ratio is a ratio which is used to evaluate, which is used to assess a company's financial leverage. It is actually a measure of the degree to which a company is financing its operations, say through debt, as compared to the wholly owned funds. Wholly owned funds, I mean the capital. And whereas the debt, I mean the loans or the bonds. A good debt to equity ratio is, say, around 1 to 1.5. However, one can say that the ideal debt to equity ratio will vary depending on the industry, because some industries use more debt financing than others. So in that case, this ratio will differ. Debt to equity ratio of the Amazon company in the year 2018 was 0.76, whereas in 2019 it was 1.018. This means that Amazon is using almost the same percentage of debt and the shareholders' equity. That is not a problem. The more the debt means the higher cost of interest payments, but too less debt also does not augur well as far as the tax benefits are concerned. But that's okay if the company has sufficient reserve funds. The fourth ratio is that of return on equity. Common shareholders want to know how profitable their capital is in the businesses they invest in. A return on equity is calculated by taking the firm's net earnings, of course after taxes, and then subtracting the preferred dividends. Whatever you get, that should be divided by the result, dividing the result by the equity share capital of the company. I can say a return of equity of say around 10-15% is a good performance, but then it again depends on the economic situation of the world and also of the country in which the company is operating. The higher the return on equity, the better the company is at generating profits. But again, it depends on the type of industry. Amazon company's return on common equity actually decreased in 2017. Again, it increased in 2018. And again, it fell down in the year 2019. This is in spite of these results. That is, the net revenue increased by say 21.5%. Net income also increased by 15%. So the basic earnings per share also increased because the revenue increased by a good percentage and also the net income also increased. So it is understandable that the basic earnings per share also increased. But on the other hand, marketing expenses increased by 37%, whereas fulfillment expenses increased by 18%, technology by 25%. In short, we can say the total operating expenses increased by almost around 21%. In spite of this, the net income increased by 15%. What is the price to earnings ratio? That is PE ratio. This is also one of the most important ratios in valuing a company's stock. Price to earnings ratio is the ratio for valuing a company that measures its current share price relative to its per share earnings. The price to earnings ratio is also sometimes known as price multiple or the earnings multiple also. The P ratios are used by investors and also by analysts to determine the relative value of a company's shares. It can also be used to compare a company against its own historical record. What was the progress made from last year? So price to earnings ratio are a very important measure of the company's performance. The earnings per share on December 21, 2018 was 66, whereas in 2019 it was 76. That means the higher earnings per share indicates that the greater value the company has, because investors will pay more for a company's shares if they think that the company has higher profits relative to its share price. This is because the net sales and the net income has increased, and also the basic earnings per share has also increased, and that is why the earnings per share has increased. The Share price has also increased by 29.7% from 2018 to 2019 December. And the last ratio that we will be discussing is the return on equity. Equity shareholders want to know how profitable their capital is in the businesses they invest in it. A return on equity can be calculated by taking the firm's net earnings after subtracting the preferred dividends and dividing it by the result, dividing the result by the common equity share capital of the company. The ROE was 23% in the year 2018, and in the year 2019 it was up and it was 35.72%, almost 12% increase. So going by all this, it looks that the company has been doing well in all the ratios. But the bottom line is, above ratios will help investors to pick up the best stocks for their portfolio and build their wealth. I also feel that it is fun doing the calculations, not by just, you know, investing as an intuitive investor. It does not make sense. There are scores of other financial ratios that are used in the fundamental analysis. Here I have discussed only briefly, highlighted in fact only the six of the most common and basic ones. Remember that a company cannot be properly evaluated, or it cannot be analyzed using just one ratio in isolation. Always investors need to combine ratios and metrics to get a better picture, to get a complete picture of a company's prospects. But whenever you invest, remember the rule number one, never lose your money. Rule number two, never forget rule number one. This is what Warren Buffett has made it very clear so many times. That's all we have today for this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Please like, share, subscribe, and also recommend it to your friends. Should you have any questions, you may reach me through my email, agnihotripodcast@gmail.com. Thanks, and see you in the next episode.